Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
So about 2 weeks ago, you were running around flying helicopters.
Yeah, I was in California.
Flying helicopters. But 2 weeks ago, while you were deployed to training, there was a pretty major storm came through the Twin Cities. And we knew it was coming. I mean, you kind of see severe weather most of the time coming. And it looked pretty bad as it came in.
Did it?
I mean, it looked like it was the darkest and greenest outside that I'd seen in a long time. Like, It felt like night.
Oh, wow.
But it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And we knew what we were in for because we'd seen the forecasts. And, of course, you know, we're watching Twitter and we're seeing reports come in from the west side of town. And we live due north of Minneapolis.
And it was during the week, right? It was a weekday?
No, it was a weekend.
Oh, it was a weekend.
So it comes in and it's – fortunately, the storm kind of split and went both north and south of us. But we got pretty high winds. There were 60-mile-an-hour straight-line winds recorded not far from where I live. And we got a significant amount of hail. And I'm talking here maybe like small rock sized of hail. But it wasn't as windy where we were at. And so we just got a little bit of damage on the deck, not anything to write home about. But I had friends who had trees come down, who had gardens destroyed, glass furniture, glass table tops on their, you know, they were outdoors, yeah. Outdoor furniture broken,
yeah.
Landscaping shredded.
I saw on social media the snow trucks were out removing the hail and stuff from North Minneapolis, or it looked like they were plowing away.
Well, I saw Coon Rapids is the one that stands out where they brought out the snow plows,
yeah,
to move the hail out of the street.
Yeah,
there was so much of it.
I just saw social media, so I wasn't here, yeah.
And that's only 10 or 12 miles north.
Yep.
And then beyond the trees that causing damage, you know, I saw where hail came in and would catch this, you know, straight line winds and then get blown into siding. Well, it just shredded it.
Yeah,
in almost
that's what
every
I
case.
Saw.
Unfortunately, we didn't have that happen where I lived. But people to the south of us 20 miles and to the north of us 10 miles really got a pretty significant amount of damage.
Yeah.
Without there being a tornado.
Yeah.
It was just hail and straight line winds.
Yeah, we think about big storm damage being, you know, the tornadoes that come through, but really these can be just as damaging.
So we were talking about this, you know, when it comes to our clients, when it comes to business. And a lot of times when we get into these conversations about how do you recover from something that has impacted your business in terms of a disruption, we get into what I always think of as kind of some fanciful discussions about here's the top 30 things that can happen and we need to have a plan for all of these things. And there is some validity to that. But really, we boil these down to there's really just a handful of things that actually impact you. There's four consequences of a disruption.
Right. And those four consequences are, you know, what's going to happen to your people is one.
So your people could not be able to work.
Right.
Is what we're getting at there.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't, for whatever reason, they can't make it to work because mm-hmm. there's
transportation, logistics problems, right. Or
maybe there's a tree in the road.
Maybe there's a tree in the road, or maybe the tree hit their house.
Or maybe something happened to one of their family members and right. they're not in a place to come in.
Right. So there's also the loss of your workplace, your facility, your office, your manufacturing hub, destroyed, damaged, no power. It's not usable in its current state.
Or at least partially not usable.
Right.
Which is bad. Or, you know, technology. So the grid's down and you can no longer get to your POS systems or your computers aren't working and people can't work because the computers are down.
You're a retail store and you turned on your point of sale system this morning and there's no inventory because the database has crashed right. or what have you.
Yep, or the internet is not working in that area because all of the towers are down.
And then lastly, there's the fourth consequence we talk about are third parties, your vendors, where you're relying upon them for a critical service. Maybe they are your service provider, right? You have a relationship with a vendor who does 80% of your back-end processing. We have a client that does exactly that.
I was just thinking about them, yeah.
And they've a massive reliance on that one vendor.
And their mindset a lot of times is, well, we have a vendor that takes care of that. That's up to them to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Well, true. But if they're down, even if they have a plan, you may still want to consider the fact that you may be without that vendor for right. some time.
So let's dive into these a little bit. Let's start with the team aspect, because our last episode of Managing Uncertainty, we talked about personal preparedness. And that comes into play here, because if your team is not prepared personally, they may not be in a place where they're able to report to work in a disruption, because they're dealing with family preparedness, response, recovery issues. But there's also the they may be experiencing their own personal disruption. They may have lost a home. They may have had something happen to a loved one. They may, maybe the issue isn't a direct impact to your business, but there's pandemic flu and the whole family's sick, and so they can't come in.
Right.
Or and maybe you don't want them to come in.
Maybe
in that
they're
situation.
In the hospital, you know?
Right.
So I always think of it like people first, right? So if you can take care of your people, or if your people can take care of themselves, then they'll be ready to work for you right. as well. So we think about that a lot in the military, of course. So mm-hmm. if you can people first, then they can come and do the job after.
Mm-hmm. The second consequence is your workplace. So this can be everything from there's no power, therefore your facility can't operate, to the facility's been damaged, it's been flooded, there's no water. We had an issue when we were at our previous employer where the water main, the city inadvertently broke a water main. We lost all water pressure in a multi-skyscraper building.
Yeah.
And when we gathered as a crisis team and we started the conversation about what do we do, the facilities guys were like, there's nothing to do. If we don't have water and we can't run the bathrooms, we can't be in this building. We are going to have to make plans that in the next 90 minutes or so, we're going to have to shut down. And if it's not fixed tomorrow morning, we're going to have to not open the building.
Right. And we had plans for that.
We had plans for that, but boy, we had not dug those out in a while.
Yeah, we had not dug them out in a while. But we did at least have a plan where we've at least had thought through that. Mm-hmm. So I guess think about the organization that you work with. Is there a plan for that mm-hmm. if that were to happen? Has that been thought through at mm-hmm. all?
And so for many positions, you know, there's almost a default plan that you can go to.
Right.
You can say, for a lot of positions, look, we can shift them to working remotely. They can work from home.
Right.
They can work from a co-working location. They can work from Starbucks.
Yes.
You have a computer. They have VPN access. We hope you can do email remotely. And for a lot of positions that don't require more hands-on work.
And that works.
This works.
If where they're at, the grid's still up. And where right. their home is, they can still work from home, or they can easily get to somewhere.
Or can we move them somewhere where they can do those things?
Right. Or is there another location that can take over that work?
Right. We had an issue that we managed through a number of years ago where we had flooding in a skyscraper and we displaced about 800 employees.
Yeah.
And this whole remote work thing became a really interesting conversation, because it turned out that everybody could have worked. They all started working remotely. Like, we set up temporary space in another building and literally one person came.
Yeah, they did it on their own because it was just easier.
It was brilliant.
Work remote, yeah.
But our plans didn't call for that. So we definitely had a learning out of that. So remote work is one thing that they can do. But then we get into this whole discussion about alternate workspace. And there's a lot of rabbit holes here that you can go really, really far down. But you can lease temporary space and equip it with the right equipment. You can have space brought to you through a vendor that brings, you know, trailers out that you can work in temporarily. But then you have to also start thinking about specialized equipment and what's required for that. We have a client that has a large remittance operation. We have two clients with large remittance operations, and there's some particular mail equipment that they can't really operate without, and they're going to need that.
Yeah.
So you need to have the right contracts in place and plans on where you can go in order for that to work.
And potentially plans with those vendors as well that are providing them.
Right.
So it's working remote. It's working
alternate
workspace.
There's also the issue of if your business has multiple locations and that business exists, your team exists in multiple locations, yep. then you can reallocate the work.
Right. Which is what I was initially thinking, you know, getting at. But yeah.
So you can temporarily send more work somewhere. You can pay overtime. You can bring in temporary workers. You could bring in alumni. that perhaps are still in the area. I saw that in a plan last week.
That's a fantastic idea.
It was great. They're like, hey, there's a lot of people that used to do this that are down in that office. And so we'll just reach out to them and offer to pay them overtime to come in and do.
That's a great idea.
And do work. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yep. We also have clients that have offices in other countries.
Right.
And they're able to pass the work back and forth depending on what the workload is.
You may be able to shift things to a vendor temporarily. You may be able to shift certain work to a vendor. But again, you're going to want these agreements in upfront or you're going to pay exorbitant fees.
Therein lies the plan, right?
Therein lies planning your ahead. Planning discussion.
Yeah.
So the third consequence of a big disruption is the loss of technology. And we get into some interesting discussions here because we've had clients tell us, we've had, you know, units within clients say, well, I need to be able to send email within an hour of a disruption.
Yeah.
And we're like, why?
It's always a fun discussion.
Tell us why. Well, that's how we move work. That's how we assign work to the offices, the remote offices.
And is there no other way to move work?
Is there no other method?
Is there no other method? Is there
this? Can you, if you call them and say, could you do X instead of Y, would that work?
Right. Or if it's the Exchange server, maybe there's another
exchange
option.
Server.
Yeah, another Exchange server or text message or
what
all
happens
of these
if
other
you what if you those? IM them? What if you message them in Slack?
Yeah.
These are all conversations that, you know, this is a great one where I think challenge and collaborative discussion is valuable because you find these weird situations where I have to have WebEx within 30 minutes. Right. Why?
Well, I think it gets them to think differently, too, as to what other options are out there for them.
What if WebEx had never been invented? What would you do?
It hasn't been around that long.
I mean, we had a client tell us that they have to have, you know, this messaging application and it has to be, it can't ever go down.
And I'm right.
Like, why not? Well, because that's how we manage incidents. We use this application, okay? It's not the only messaging application in the world.
Right.
There is another way to do this.
Yeah, so realistically, there was a time when we worked without most technology. So let's come up with a plan on how we can still accomplish the work and get the work done without certain technologies that you may have. Now, that comes with limitations. So, you know, maybe the internet's down. But you can still pick up the phone and call,
yes.
Potentially. So there's
don't be afraid. The phone is how people used to communicate.
Yeah. We used to talk face-to-face, too, which is the weirdest thing. So that was with that same client, we had that conversation, too, of, okay, I know you work in a different building, but isn't that building just up the street there? Couldn't you have a conversation in person if you needed to?
Mm-hmm. So with technologies, we identify the technologies that you use as you're thinking about a plan. And you kind of prioritize the recovery of these. And in a bigger business, you're doing this with your technology team and you're helping them build disaster recovery plans for those.
And we joke about that, but I would recognize that some technology really is that's how the business is done, and without it the business can't function.
Or the technology is the product.
Yes, exactly. So that's definitely a possibility, and it's definitely a problem to have a plan for.
We just like to joke about the email.
We do.
Situation. Nobody really needs an email for an hour.
Right. We can't really. We can't have a conversation over the phone or in person. Or yes, but there are definitely technology platforms that are what runs a business, and in which case plans need to be.
Electronic medical records is a great example. We have clients in the healthcare business, and those things can really not ever go down.
Right.
Right. I mean, you need them to. Do everything from managed care to triage in the emergency room to issue orders, but also to look for life-threatening things like drug interactions.
Right.
And we've become reliant upon automated systems to do that, and they need to be available.
Right. For everything. I mean, even to, you know, a retailer that may sell toilet paper, for instance, it may be that for that hour that you're out, your system's out, you may have to come up with that clipboard again to try to keep track of things. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal and it's not the most efficient, but it may be your answer in that given moment of time.
So the last consequence of a disruption is a loss of a third party or a vendor. You might use the vendor, say vendor instead of third party. But this is where you're relying upon somebody for a critical service that you need. It might be an externally hosted technology provider like Salesforce, for example. Mm-hmm. Although Salesforce highly distributed, rarely goes down, if ever.
Because they have plans.
Because they have plans and a high availability.
Multiple locations.
High availability architecture. But, you know, we have we have clients that have critical vendors that they rely upon for a significant portion of their work. And so this is where, as a business, you need to understand your vendors' business continuity and disaster recovery plans, mm-hmm. and what your contract says in terms of a service level agreement. What does it mean for them to be down for an hour? Is that acceptable or not? And, you know, where does that take you in the conversation? But you can't just say, you know, 80% of our work is done by vendors and then have no concept of what the vendor is going to do when they face a disruption.
Right. Because the vendor may not have a plan. Mm-hmm. And it may just be that you're going to be thinking, oh, crap, now what do I do?
So. Right. We both were in a situation, a previous employer, where critical vendor identified through our process that they didn't have plans. And we said, this is not okay. Like, something needs to be done here. And
Ruh-roh.
The risk was accepted, and it turned out to be pretty detrimental to the business because, indeed, they could not function in a disruption. Mm-hmm. You have to look at those things.
Yeah, and there may be an accepted level of risk that your leadership's willing to take without having that, but they should at least know that it is a risk they're taking.
Right. So four consequences: loss of the workforce, loss of facility or workplace, disruption to your technologies, and disruption to your vendors, third-party service providers.
Top four, have a plan.
Have a plan. That's it for this episode. We'll be back in the future with another exciting episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.